This is Fantasy Football Friday with Ty Richardson.
Fantasy Football Friday. I'm your host, Ty Richardson. Pleased to be welcomed by Vinny Iyer, the Sporting News fantasy football writer. Vinny, appreciate the time, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, Ty.
So let's start with the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton loses his franchise quarterback in Drew Brees, and he really likes Taysom Hill. You have Teddy Bridgewater coming in towards the end of that game with the Rams after Brees goes out with that injury. Vinny, how much do you see Taysom Hill's fantasy value increasing with the loss of Brees for these next weeks?
Well, I think we have to see how they're going to use this quarterback situation, because they've hinted that Teddy Bridgewater is starting in the traditional role, but we're probably going to see a lot of Taysom Hill. And part of this I wrote on Sporting News is that the Saints' receiving corps is not in a good shape right now. I mean, you have Michael Thomas being the stud that he is, and he's going to keep producing, but Jared Cook is yet to get going at tight end. Traquan Smith, probably not going to play. He has an ankle injury. They had to put Keith Kirkwood on IR. They're not sure about Ted Ginn as well. I mean, he's older, and he's had some injuries early in the season. So there's not much depth there to throw the ball around, and I think they have to look at their strengths, the running game, throwing the shorter passes to Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara. And the guy that can help facilitate Alvin Kamara, where he's not getting all the attention and it's hard to get going as they force Teddy Bridgewater to throw downfield, is Taysom Hill, because he adds the wrinkle in the backfield that you have to worry about him account another defender for his running, occasionally pass it, but I think he can get those shorter passes out to Thomas and Cook when needed. So that's what we're going to look for, and that definitely makes the Saints quarterback unusable right now without Drew Brees, because it could be a split of the snaps for these guys in a different situation. So I think they need to do everything they can to make Kamara and Thomas be successful, and they're going to have to get a little creative to do that.
Vinny, we're 2 weeks through with the NFL season. Got a long way to go. Some people are already freaking out about their fantasy teams. They're already deciding and trying to make trades. When do you, as a fantasy football owner, decide it might be time where I make a trade and try to improve my team as a whole?
Well, I think about the player first. I say, is this a talented player that maybe had two tough matchups? You look at Devonta Freeman, that's a good example, but I don't know if the matchups are going to get much tougher than that to open the season in terms of run defense, Vikings and Eagles. It can only get better starting with this week against the Colts. So you got to consider that. Sometimes you run in some tough spots. If you have Aaron Rodgers, keep in mind, you play the Bears and Vikings. That could be his two toughest games. If you kind of survive there, things are going to get better. There's going to be some games where Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a lot and then produce like we know Aaron Rodgers can here coming up. So you have to look at the player and to see if he's talented, if he can rebound, if the schedule allows him to do that. Look at his role, look at his health. If that's all good, then you're going to have a chance to improve at that position just by keeping things intact. But if you have a real problem, like, say, O.J. Howard, and you're not sure now at this point, you've had guys like David Njoku and Hunter Henry and go down at that position, and Eric Ebron is disappointed, that middle tier of tight end has been really bad. So you might say, okay, I have to do something to get a tight end here, make a move here, trade from one of my other assets. I want one of the big three, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, or George Kittle. So you might look at that sense. So look at the usage, look at where things are going with that coaching staff. And if you feel like you're really weak and you've got to make that change now, be aggressive and do it. There's plenty of what helps still on the waiver wire, especially at wide receiver and tight end early in the season.
Speaking with Vinny Iyer, Sporting News fantasy football writer here on Fantasy Football Friday. Vinny, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. There was a lot of talk, a lot of speculation on his relationship with new head coach Matt LaFleur in the offseason. He didn't have a great week one against the Bears, and then he had a better one against the Vikings. And as you mentioned, those are two salty defenses. Do you think he's going to finish as a top three fantasy quarterback this year?
Well, I think the issues that could hurt that are maybe not related to Aaron Rodgers. The fact that they could run the ball more effectively this year, and it looks like Aaron Jones is going to get the touches, even though they've hinted at Jamal Williams touching the ball more. It's more because I think there's going to be more backfield touches to go around. So that could hurt Aaron Rodgers a little bit, but you know, looking at this receiving core, it's got plenty of talent here. And Devontae Adams, backed by Jerome Allison and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, there's just too much talent there not to get going at some point. And the Packers defense is not going to crush it every week. Things are going to change real quickly with the Eagles, and you've got a game against the Cowboys. These are games where the Packers are going to have to put it up and start lighting up the scoreboard a little bit there. And that's going to also help Aaron Rodgers. A lot of the next few games are at home. You know, typically he's a better home quarterback. But I think right now, some of these guys like Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott could cool off a little bit with some of the matchups coming up. And Aaron Rodgers is going to get hot at some point. I think I'm confident in finishing as a solid QB1, but it could be more in that 6-8 range at this point versus 3-5.
So let's stay in the NFC North, Vinny. Mitch Trubisky hasn't gotten off best of starts. I know they were able to win at home last week, get into Club Dub, as Chicago has called it, but he hasn't been great. And I have Allen Robinson on my team. Now, he's not a starter for me, but he is a bench guy, potentially a flex guy. And he had a decent week one, didn't have the best week two. He's talented. There's no denying that, but it's about getting him the football. Do you think he's going to be worth anything by season in the way Mitch Trubisky has been playing these first 2 weeks?
Well, I think the Bears are a very matchup-dependent team. I mean, we saw Mitchell Trubisky, he lit up the Buccaneers. That was his big game, kind of carried his staff for much of 2018 there in the second season. I think it's going to get better. The Redskins' defense, I mean, this is a good chance. This is a bad defense right now. I mean, their corners are a bit overrated. They're injured back there. They're giving up a lot of big plays. So it should be good news for Allen Robinson, even if he gets Josh Norman here to get going here in week number 3. And that connection is good. I think there's a little bit of a better chemistry between those two right now. The other people are going to get involved in this offense. And you saw David Montgomery get the touches and start to get this running game going. That's going to open things up for Mitchell Trubisky as well. A little bit with his own running game, but also getting the ball to Robinson. Right now, look at this. Trey Burton's hurting. They don't use Taylor Gabriel much, even though he's out there in almost every play. Anthony Miller's going to disappear. Tarik Cohen, very limited targets there. So Allen Robinson is going to get most of the targets on this team going forward and get treated more like a number one. I think in good matchups, he's going to show up, and he could be Trubisky independent in a lot of these games as well. We saw him still have 100-yard games in week one.
Week 3, it's way early. Is there anyone, though, that you've watched in these first 2 weeks they already decided to sell?
Well, I'm a little concerned about Carson Wentz. Just because right now there's no backup plan, and he's losing some of his receivers, and, you know, Alshon Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson could be out for a little bit here, definitely at 2 weeks with the short turnaround in week 4. So there's some concern about that, and there's the concern that every time you watch Carson Wentz, you're afraid that he's going to get hurt again, the way he's playing and taking all these hits, and there's nothing else to do there. So, I mean, I think he's going to be solid as long as he plays, and he's going to be out there, but you do hurt a little bit. And you just have to think about guys like Lamar Jackson. I mean, are they special fantasy players right now? But the opportunity there could be to really help yourself in another position where you can't at any other point. I mean, if you draft Lamar Jackson and you got another solid starting QB, maybe you ended up with Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady or something like that, and Jackson now has the zest appeal to get and turn into a high-end running back or wide receiver. You got to do it. So, again, see where your depth is. I think at quarterback, if you can somehow swing a quarterback deal, the best time to strike is early. Maybe someone is more attracted to having a particular quarterback, even if right now they're at a spike, you'd think they might fade a little bit later. It's worth making that deal.
Fantasy Football Friday, Vinny Iyer, host of the Locked On Fantasy Football and the Locked On Network, is our guest. Vinny, you mentioned some injuries. We really haven't talked about the crucial quarterback injuries that have affected the NFL so far. Does the NFL have an issue with so many of their star players going down as of late?
Well, I think it's just the nature of this game, and a lot of people are not as prepared from the preseason. That could be it. You have year-long conditioning, and sometimes there's maybe some over-conditioning with these players. Maybe they're not in game shape. They're in, like, great other shape, but I think it's a bit fluky because some of these quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, have been pretty durable over the years. So it's really just a luck thing when it's a little thing like an elbow or a thumb that can throw it off. It's not like we're having a lot of people blowing out ACLs here early in the season. There are little things that are piling up. But overall, I mean, I've seen some carnage early in the season a lot worse than this. I mean, given it's a quarterback, we're focused a little bit more on it. I think there's things you can manage. At least some of them are not as devastating when you look at Nick Foles and Sam Darnold, the way Cam Newton's playing right now. That's not really affecting anybody's fantasy team if he's out. So there's that. I think Roethlisberger and Breeze do hurt to a degree, but I think looking at fantasy options, there's been so many other quarterbacks break out where it's not hurting us in fantasy as much as it used to when you have guys like Jackson, Prescott, Brady, who people were down on, maybe as QB2s are really coming up as QB1s.
So one of the best things about fantasy football is guessing on a rookie late in rounds and him coming up big, like a Marquise Hollywood Brown, a TJ Hockenson, some of the guys that just have had spectacular showings through 2 weeks of the NFL season. Which rookie, Vinny, do you think has started slow that you anticipate picking it up pretty soon?
Well, I think David Montgomery to some degree. I think the week two kind of was a hint that the Bears want to make him the centerpiece of the offense. They overcorrected, but they corrected properly from week number one, not giving Montgomery enough touches. He scores a touchdown, very involved, carries the offense there in week two. So he's a guy that's definitely going to get going. I think Josh Jacobs, we'll have to see on him because we thought he was going to be involved more in the passing game. That hasn't quite happened yet. Now he's got a bit of an injury that we're working on. And Devin Singletary, he's got the hamstring. We're a little worried, but I know he can be special, that Bills rushing back. So we're looking at those three running backs getting going at some time. There was that appeal. And you have to watch out for Darwin Thompson now. I know he's been on a roller coaster. People took him and said they were excited when they saw Damian Williams hurt. Then they acquired LeSean McCoy. But now McCoy and Williams are hurt again. So Darwin Thompson might be getting going here in a key role for the Chiefs sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and as someone that has both LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams on his roster, I was not happy when I heard the news that both of them were going to be injured, and there's still no timetable on that. You mentioned Devin Singletary for the Bills. Frank Gore continues to get carries. I think he had 4 red zone carries last week, Vinny. It's crazy. The running back position is the most difficult in terms of longevity to keep it up in the NFL, and yet this guy keeps on plugging away.
Yeah, the one thing about Frank Gore is he lowers his head, he runs hard, gets positive yards on basically every run. This is what people were questioning, why is he touching the ball over Kenny Drake in Miami? Because of that, he doesn't dance. He's going to move forward, he's going to push there, he's going to get every yard that's there. He's low to the ground, he's a hard guy to bring down, he's going to get what's there. I mean, he may not be pretty and he may need some volume, but coaches and teammates love this guy because he does all the little things right. He's quiet, goes about his business. And really, reality-wise, that's where it really helps Frank Gore stay on the field. And it's led to some pretty good fantasy days here with Miami and last week against Buffalo, and with Buffalo against the Giants. But you look at this week, if Singletary can't play with that hamstring issue, the Bengals just gave up 259 yards rushing. Frank Gore is in a great spot here to be very productive as an RB2 in week number 3.
So, Vinny, I have the choice of Peyton Barber or Frank Gore for this matchup this week, and I'm going back and forth. Right now, I have Gore in the starting position with Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy. I don't know about them. They're both questionable at this point, so I've just have them both on my bench. Also have James Conner, my other running back. Should I go Barber or should I go Gore?
Well, knowing Bruce Arians and his fickle nature with personnel, he could go back to Ronald Jones
yeah,
this week,
seriously.
And things could go haywire there. I mean, I do like Barber's matchup. I think he's guaranteed to get a few more touches. But I think if Singletary's out for sure and he's not playing at all, then I would lean a little bit towards Gore because the Bengals' run defense has been atrocious. I figure the Bills guaranteed are going to be ahead in that game, where I'm not sure about the Bucs and Giants. They might be a little bit back and forth more than we think this week.
So, Vinny, you mentioned David Montgomery. That's an Iowa State Cyclone kid. I watched him in college on Matt Campbell's squad. Dude could play. Dude was a stud. When you're watching these kids in college, Vinny, and you're projecting them to the NFL, how much time are you spending on watching these juniors and seniors in college that you know are going to be rookies these next year or two?
Well, I do definitely watch them, and the special players you can see right away. You look at Travis Etienne of Clemson. You can tell he's going to have some big-time fantasy football value when he gets to the next level here pretty quickly. They're just special. They're dynamic. They take over games there with their running. They get involved in the passing game and do things there. And, Dave Montgomery, you can just tell. I mean, you just look at the part. When the way he runs hard, can get outside and make people miss. And those are all the things you're looking for. I mean, a lot of guys can just run behind an offensive line that's really good in college and overmatched opponents, but you're looking at what they do away from the line. If they make a guy miss, what they can do there in the pass game, which is very critical to the NFL, what they do in pass protection as well to stay on the field. So these are all the things that add up, and David Montgomery had all those things line up for him, and I think you're starting to see the fruits of that labor now.
Sometimes it's hard to distinguish people as good as they actually are and then the benefits of playing on a dynamic football team. Let's take Clemson, for example. So ETN is playing along a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, and he's also playing with wide receivers like Amari Rodgers and then T. Higgins, just studs all over the field. Also, Justin Ross, who may be one of the best young receivers in college football. When you're projecting these guys at the next level and you see a great player on a great football team, does it ever worry you people think more of him because of the talent that's surrounding him in college at all?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a little bit of that. You have to dive deep. I mean, looking at Damon Harris versus Josh Jacobs, that's a good example where you look at Alabama and Damon Harris is rather productive, but Damon Harris just is a normal type of runner. There's nothing special about him. But Josh Jacobs has a little bit of juice, and there was a bit of a separation there. So the same thing with Derrick Henry or T.J. Yeldon. You would say Henry was a little more of the hammer there, where T.J. Yeldon was in a system and produced but didn't come through as much there. So some things that you can look at there. You have to, again, look at the individual talent, and the talent really should pop up at you now, given kind of special players we're used to in the NFL. I mean, the Georgia backs were easy to kind of classify that they were going to have big-time success, and Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel. So all those are easy to see sometimes when the talent is there, and sometimes it helps when you know where they came from, the recruiting process, and how talented they were to begin with, and where their pro trajectory was even before they got to college.
So, Vinny, I know we've talked mostly fantasy to this point, but I want you to pull out your crystal ball here for a sec. Minka Fitzpatrick, he ends up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now you got Jalen Ramsey, who looks to be on the trading block. If you had to guess what NFL franchise he ends up with, who would it be?
Well, I think you look at Ramsey and what he can do. I'd say the Chiefs and Eagles still have to be in mode for him. And the Cowboys, you can't rule them out because they've been making all in type of moves all the time here. They really liked him when Ezekiel Elliott came out in the draft. We thought that they could draft Ramsey instead of Elliott, so there's that lingering as well. I mean, that maybe one of these teams can get away with the short-term rookie deal and then figure out an extension later. But I say right now the Eagles can certainly afford him. The Chiefs can too. And these are teams that need to strike and win now, and they both have secondary issues.
Fantasy football-wise, I think most people would value running back, whether they're really good at fantasy or they're just an intermediate player. That's probably the position that they value the most. When it gets into the second, third positions, and the quarterbacks, wide receivers, defense, and stuff like that, it gets a little more nitty-gritty. After running backs, Vinny, is it quarterbacks or is it wide receivers that you think are the most valuable when it comes to that second overall position group?
Well, I think wide receivers now, especially with a lot of default leagues with half point and the full point PPR, what I like about wide receivers is less attrition at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. A lot of my teams are stacked heavy at wide receiver, and then I kind of piecemeal it together with running back. I usually get one back where I can trust early that I figure is going to get some touches, but then I will pick different committee backs and guys behind good starters and just try to play the matchups each week and try to get that value at two. But what it's harder to do is finding wide receivers deep that are going to be consistent. If you draft the wide receivers early, they're like your running backs because they're the targets and how much teams pass, like a Julio Jones or a Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins. These guys are like running backs with how much you're getting. They're getting extended handoffs basically and producing most weeks rather than not. And there's no mystery about their matchups from time to time, where a lot of things have to go right for running backs, game scripts and all that. And you also have more volatility where I think you're going to have more injuries there. And you have to keep in mind that it's harder to find a wide receiver handcuff than a running back plug and play as well.
So through 2 weeks, man, how are your teams doing? I know you're probably in a slew of leagues. How are they doing so far?
Well, right now, I've got quite a few that are undefeated, so I'm happy with that. I mean, it's early in the season, but part of it is I'm a kind of a guy that if I'm all in on a particular player, that I chase them in most leagues if I can based on my draft position. Chris Godwin was one guy that I had to have in most spaces. David Montgomery, I really liked. One backfield with him and Austin Eckler, where I'm very pleased right now because they have good wide receivers there on those teams. And then one league, I waited really long on a quarterback, and I'm back pressed on Tom Brady. So it's not a bad thing to have when I can pretty much plug in either quarterback, and they'll get about the same points and high points with that as well.
Speaking with Vinny Iyer, you can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Iyer, here on Fantasy Football Friday. Vinny, I know you live in Charlotte, and it's a great city. It's a growing city. I have buddies that we go on trips yearly. We've been to New Orleans. We've been to Austin. We've been to a few other places. When we come to Charlotte eventually, and it's on our list, where do we need to go eat? Where do we need to go drink?
Oh, man, that's a tough one because every day something new is popping up in the city. But you definitely have to check out our local breweries. We have so many good ones. I mean, you can't even get to them all if you're here for 3 days. You probably need about a month to do that. But definitely got to check out all the good local craft breweries we have here in Charlotte. In terms of going out to eat, we do have plenty of good barbecue down here. Get the traditional classic, some new barbecue as well. So I really think you can't go wrong with the weekend in Charlotte, but main thing you're going to do is going to breweries and eating all food trucks there with those breweries, because it's a lot of fun, and you will never end your time here checking out all the beers.
So, Vinny, paint the sports scene for me in Charlotte. You obviously have the SEC Network headquarters. You got the Panthers, Duke, Durham, North Carolina. You got Chapel Hill, North Carolina. There's probably a ton of Duke and North Carolina alumni that are located in Charlotte. What is the sports scene like there, and how does kind of fantasy factor into it?
Well, it's interesting because the Panthers are the team that rules most of the time on the weekends, and with the Hornets in a bit of a funk here, to say the least. And it's a one-pro team town now. The Panthers are dominant, but when they're not playing well, I think you start to see the fans of other teams. There are quite a few transplants here, mainly Bills fans and Steelers fans and Bengals fans. Yep, there's still a few left of them still floating around. The Redskins as well, Cowboys. So they're all over the place. I think it's the city that's passionate about football. You'll see a lot of jerseys out of different teams in different spots all over town. You'll see the sports bars filled with people into the NFL talking about it, all about it on Sunday, and playing fantasy football. So everyone likes their football here, even if the Panthers are a little bit down. Plenty of transplants are rooting for their teams, and plenty of things to look for in fantasy football in your 2019 season.
So, Vinny, when I think of Northwestern, which is where you graduated from, I think journalism. There's Mizzou, there's Syracuse, and then there's Northwestern. Those are the three schools that come to mind when you think about elite broadcasters. I mean, there have been so many that have come out. You can talk about Revelle. You can talk about Adam Schefter, grad school, Adonde. I mean, there are so too many to count. Who is your favorite fellow grad from Northwestern in terms of sports broadcasting or sports writing or just sports media in general?
Well, I do really appreciate what Adam Schefter has done. I mean, he's the best information broker in any sport, according to myself. So I think that much is true. But I do have some influences. I think Christine Brennan has been really good over the years with USA Today, and what she writes about some important issues there. Michael Wilbon, of course, has been pretty solid there on part of the interruption. Yeah. So he's been fun to watch over the years. And I think, look at others, Cassidy Hubbard, I think she does a good job there with the highlights there with college football on Saturdays. So they're all over the place. So we have some proud alums, that's for sure. And it's a lot on ESPN, but a lot in other places as well. And we continue to really support each other and really root for the people. And I can't go wrong with all the classics, and Mike Greenberg certainly one of them as well.
Tradition is a huge part of football. I know there's a ton of different people over the years that have gone about their Saturdays and Sundays different way. For Saturdays, for me, I got to work. We have pre- and post-game show for the Arkansas Razorbacks, so I have to do that. Also, watch a ton of college football games. I'll wake up for game day and do that. Sundays, for me, I'll wake up, I'll go to church, I'll come back, I'll get some sort of food, and my butt is plopped on my bed and watching Red Zone the entire day. Now, I don't really have to work as much on Sundays. This is just kind of a podcast that I do on Friday. But for you, I know it's a little different. You're constantly working, you're constantly tweeting, you're constantly updating stories and doing everything you can for Sporting News, the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. And what does your Sunday look like comparatively to just other people just watching football that day?
Well, the main thing I try to do is to get some rest and exercise, if I can get both of those going, to build some energy for the day. I mean, that's thing. And then along with that, a little bit of coffee with breakfast. So that gets the day started here. And then I kind of do my little assessment, see if I need to tweak anything with fantasy football teams, if I have some DFS lineups that I want to kind of adjust and mess around with. Sometimes I like to wait till Sunday morning to fill those out, to really have the most updated information. So I'll do that. And I kind of get settled probably around 11, 2 hours before kickoff, get all the pregame news notes, information, and actives and all that good stuff. And then lock into watching basically about 7 hours of football there and reacting to all the big stuff. So it's a lot of fun to watch things happen real time when I'm covering NFL and fantasy. I think they go hand in hand. A lot of people like to separate them, but I think things that happen in reality tie in a lot to fantasy, and seeing all that come together, that's really why I appreciate fantasy football. I think it's meant so much more to reality, and I like to bring those two things together as much as I can with the way I watch the game and then the way I write about the game.
He's Vinny Iyer, Sporting News fantasy football writer. He's host of Locked On Fantasy Football on the Locked On Network. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at Vinny Iyer. Vinny, thanks for spending some time with us today, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Ty.
For show. I'm getting that for show.
New fantasy football interviews every Friday on HitThatLine.com.